The reality is we had one of the better offenses in college football, but we were not explosive enough, and we weren't able to score points against our best opponents. Right. And that's really kind of how we're judged. And then when you look at who was one of the most explosive teams in the country, it was Kansas. The reality is that's exactly what we need to do, and everybody knows it, and it's obvious the teams that we need to beat within our own conference, which has changed, but then also on a national perspective. But I also would say...
What's going on, folks? We are launching the Retain the Roar campaign here at State Media in partnership with Happy Valley United. This is extremely important to me personally and the entire program moving forward. I came to Penn State in some of the darkest times. I deeply care about this university and this football program. That is why I'm done talking. I'm going to lead by example, and I'm working to pull a bunch of other lettermen together to get behind this campaign. It is integral for us to participate in NIL, and not only participate, but dominate to match the expectations that we all have for this program. We're in it to win championships, so let's put our money where our mouth is. I'm taking the first step. I hope that you all follow me. Our goal is to raise $500,000 to close this spring transfer portal cycle and ensure that we retain the Roar.
College football tees, college basketball tees, whatever you need, Mercury has you covered with the best merch out there. We're talking about high quality clothing, inexpensive, and the best part is I have a 15% discount for everybody who goes and gets some right now. Use the code below, hit the link in the description, and go get your merch now. Use the code to get 15% off. What are you waiting on? Go do it.
Here we go. State Media, Letterman Media Day, and we got the one and only Coach Franklin. Coach, I appreciate you taking some time with us today.
It's awesome to have you and the guys back. Always warms my heart to see you guys, and obviously got a lot of great memories.
Yeah, so you've been here for over a decade now. Kind of talk me through some of the things that you've learned about Penn State and being here.
Well, first of all, I'd say 10 years. It's something I take a lot of pride in, but it's also a little bit like sad that in college athletics, that's really unusual in today's, you know, college football. But in terms of learning about Penn State, I think at the end of the day, it comes down to people. You know, I think there's a lot of discussion right now about the stadium and other things that are going on. And those facilities are important. But at the end of the day, it really just comes down to people. And this is a place that I think people come. They fall in love with it. It is a family, and I think that's what's different probably about college and the NFL, and you can speak on that better than anybody. Yeah. There is a true sense of community at Penn State, and when you're able to sell out a stadium of 107,000 when some places across the country are struggling to fill up a 45,000-seat stadium, I think it's one of the things that separates us. And then the last thing I'd say is just there's so many examples of success, right? Whether it's what Kale's doing in wrestling, which is totally mind-blowing, but there's just 31 sports that are operating at such a high level at a very, very unique place.
Yeah, that it seems like this place has a magnet. You know what I mean? Just coming back, even no matter how long you stay away, it just seems to keep pulling you back in here. What are some maybe tougher lessons that you've learned about being in a place like this, especially when you came in with all the turmoil? I know you and Adam touched on that, but just seeing it through, not completion, but up until this point, what are some of the tougher lessons that you may have learned?
Well, I think the first thing is to think about, like, people said the program would not even resemble anything that it used to look like really until now. And I think a lot of people have forgot that, and it's something that I take a lot of pride in. Billy deserves a ton of credit. Yeah, you know Billy very well. I know Billy. A lot of people don't realize we work together at the University of Maryland.
Yep.
I talked to Billy a ton, and Billy deserves a ton of credit because how challenging it was when everything happened, right? But the next wave that me and Billy talked about is at that time there was still a ton of really good players on the roster, and now you're in the challenge of how do you continue to keep the roster, you know, with the right amount of talent on it when the conversations were very different. They were very different conversations that I was having with every single recruit in the country, and was challenging. So that first wave, I think, was really challenging. And Billy and all the players did a phenomenal job. All the Lettermen did a phenomenal job of keeping this thing together. But that next wave was also really important. I'm really proud of the staff and the players that allowed us to build it. Guys like yourself that trusted in a change. I think the other thing I think is hard for young people, and we talked about this a lot, is I think a lot of times young people, when you have success, you feel like there's only one way to do it. And the older you get, the more experience you get, you realize there's a lot of different ways to be successful. But I think the most important thing to me, and I think for Penn Staters, is although the packaging may be a little bit different with James Franklin and Billy O'Brien, really the same lessons and the same values that have always been here, they still apply. It's just different ways of doing it.
And I've been, and like you said, like kids maturing through the whole process, it's been so cool now, like for me going through it, being able to reflect, like everyone played such a incremental, like such a valuable role in that process up until that point. Yourself included, Coach O'Brien included. And it's just so cool to kind of see where, like I said, where it is now and whatever role I played in that. That's what I take the most pride in this process. And I appreciate that. That's really cool. So shifting gears, you had two big hires this offseason, replacing two coordinators. What separated Coach Kaltenecki from the other guys that were out there? There's some notable names. I personally love the hire. I got to speak with him. Seems to be a guy who's extremely focused on coaching and teaching, which I feel sometimes, especially at the NFL level, can get lost.
Yep.
And he seems to be taking a lot of pride in impacting kids and working with what he has and continuing to maximize that. So what went into that decision?
Well, let me say something first. I want to say three big hires first, because we're not a place that gives special teams lip service. It's just as important. So three really big hires. But back to Coach Kaltenecki. For me, it was a combination of things. I interviewed him years ago for the tight ends job, so that started the relationship. I got a ton of respect for Lance, Coach Leopold, at Buffalo and now at Kansas, and we were able to play them and watch them. They came up and visited a few times, so I got a chance to get to know them pretty well, and we've stayed in touch, so that helped. Because at the end of the day, again, it's back to the people. You want to bring the right people into the organization. I think experience matters. He's been an offensive coordinator for 19 years calling plays, and there's value in that. And then for me, one of the areas that we struggled last year, the reality is we had one of the better offenses in college football, but we were not explosive enough, and we weren't able to score points against our best opponents.
Right.
And that's really kind of how we're judged. And then when you look at who was one of the most explosive teams in the country, it was Kansas. And then on top of that, they're doing it at a place that historically hasn't done it before, and there's a track record. I think one of the things you have to be careful is you hire somebody because they had a really good year or had a really good 2 years. Well, they may have had a transformational quarterback that really impacted their success. So who's been able to do it over a period of time with different quarterbacks, with different parts, and been able to be successful? And then I think the other thing is kind of the creativity.
Yeah.
I think that goes back to, again, the diversity in who you are as a coach, because everybody says they're going to play to the strengths of their personnel, but very few really do that. And the only way you can really do that is if you have enough pieces within your system, because 1 year or one game, it may be a quarterback like Drew.
Yep.
Drew Aller, who's your starting quarterback, who's more of a old school prototype quarterback. Well, the very next game, it may be Bo Prabula.
It is that a name still bounces. I tried to intro him earlier.
Yeah, it gets me from time to time. But it that may be the next game, or it may be the next year, and he's a different style of quarterback. So to be able to take advantage of all those things, you must have the diversity within your system to do it. That's whether it's 10 personnel, 11 personnel, using a fullback, that was another thing that attracted to me, a lot of different ways of doing things to manufacture yards and manufacture explosive plays.
He seems really connected to the kids.
Let me say one more time. Go ahead. Prabula. Yeah, Prabula. Because I crushed that. I apologize. Prabula.
Yeah. But I was he seems very connected to the kids, seems very tied in. And I think, at least from the outside looking in, the temperature around the program last year this time seems to be much different. I've obviously, having bled here, played for you, know what it takes to win and know what it takes, what you guys go through on a daily basis. Have these guys embraced, like an underdog role is kind of not what I want to say, but have they embraced the ability to work in the shadows here this spring? Because you mentioned it, and I've said this before, this roster is as deep as it's ever been. Yep. You've made some fantastic hires in three places that are going to only continue to elevate that and put those guys in positions to be successful. What have you noticed through this spring transition with these guys in terms of their mentality? Because I think ultimately that is where this place is in terms of getting over the hump, is just overall ultimate deep down belief that they can compete with everybody in the country, and they should. And I know you preach that on a daily basis. Have the guys gotten it?
What's going on, y'all? Christian Hackenberg with State Media in the Pocket. This segment is brought to you by Utz. Utz has a phenomenal line of potato chips and other snacks. We were fortunate enough to be able to enjoy them all weekend. They kept us fed and ready for all of these interviews that you all are about to enjoy. They've been a fantastic partner of ours, and we're looking forward to continuing to bring you guys exclusive content here at State Media.
Yeah, so a couple things. I think first thing, and I just want to be clear on this, and I agree with you 1,000%. Yeah. I want to make sure that we detail out or specific about getting over the hump. The reality is that's exactly what we need to do, and everybody knows it, and it's obvious the teams that we need to beat within our own conference, which has changed, but then also on a national perspective. But I also would say 99% of the college football programs in the country would die to be where we're at.
Exactly. It's you know, the king wears a heavy crown.
Correct.
You know what I mean? At a place like this.
And it's challenging, I think, when the system changed and you went to a playoff system, schools like Penn State, it's really more of a playoff national championship or bust. You go to the Rose Bowl, people would die to go to the Rose Bowl, right? So let me say that. But I think the other thing I would say is, to your point, I think leadership is critical at every level. Whether it's the president, the AD, the chair of the board, the head football coach, the coordinators, and the players. And I think that's one of the things that I've recognized with Coach Kotelnicki right now, with Tom Allen, and with Coach Lustig. Two of those positions in Lustig and Coach Allen have been head coaches before. And I think that's one of the things that I see with Coach Kotelnicki in a future head coach. It's not just the plays. The plays are important, but you got to get everybody to buy into it. You got to get people excited about it. You got to get people to understand the why. And I see that as probably the biggest shift and biggest change is Coach Kotelnicki's ability to connect with the players, very similar to what Tom's doing and what Manny did on defense last year. I see that with all three of our coordinators right now. The other thing is, if you want change, then you must change. The definition of insanity is to do the same thing over and over and expect a different response, right? So it's interesting. We've had probably our most physical spring ball, because usually what happens is you have practices laid out in the beginning of spring, just like in the beginning of training camp. You get some injuries, and then you cut back on the physicality.
Yeah.
And we've kind of plowed through it. The depth that you mentioned earlier is, I think, has helped with that. It's really allowed some guys that maybe are in the argument of in the two or three deep at this stage now are getting one reps because guys are out. And that depth development, I think, is critical. So my point is, we didn't really back off.
Yeah.
And I met with the leadership council 2 weeks ago, and you know, and to be honest with you, they were kind of pushing back on it. Hey. Yeah. We've been very physical this training camp, and you talk about a long season, possibly 17 games. We're going to have to be strategic about this. And I said, yeah, but on the same hand, we got to be willing to do things that we haven't done before. And this is the time to do it. Be really physical, be really challenging, long practices during the spring. You're not going to take that approach during the fall, but we got enough time to recover between now and summer camp. And I think it's been the right approach. So I think that's just one example of what you're talking about. And the guys have grinded through it. And our practices have been super competitive, really physical. And when you bring new staff in and they see it, they're like, I haven't really been around this before as competitive as it's been for 15 practices.
That's fantastic. I love that. Two more things really quick. You talked about expectations, what's going on here. What do you think Penn State needs to do to get to that year in, year out competitive level, whether it's NIL, whether it's whatever, for championship caliber expectations to be something that is realistic and everybody embraces?
Yeah, I think the thing that I would say is we got to embrace everything that comes with college football.
Yeah.
If you want to be a team that is literally competing for national championships year in and year out, you can't pick and choose what you're going to compete in. You can't say, well, facilities aren't important, we don't need them at Penn State. You can't say that recruiting isn't important. You can't say that offense, defense, special teams isn't important. You can't say that development isn't important. You can't say that NIL isn't important. Literally, you have to say, at this level for where we want to go, every single area needs to be competing and operating at the highest level. That's the reality of the people that we're competing with. That's what we're doing. And we can't rationalize or justify why we don't need to do it in a certain area. That's just not how it works. I've been a head coach in the SEC. I know how that league works and operates at the very highest level. And the same thing now in the Big Ten. I think I got pretty good perspective on it.
Yeah, no doubt. Last one, kind of putting a bow on this whole conversation. If you were to look up Penn State football player in the dictionary, what would be the definition?
You know, I think it's broad. But I think at the end of the day, it comes down to core ingredients is blue collar, hard nose, appreciative, a good perspective of our history and respect for our history, but also being able to drive forward in what we need to do under a current model of college athletics and specifically football. But for me, I think it's blue collar, it's hard nose, it's appreciation for what this university means to them moving forward, what this community means to us as well. But I think it starts with those key ingredients.
I love it.